your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, that's me. Welcome, 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 everybody. It's the last Sunday of 2009. I was reminded that it's not really the last Sunday of the decade. That's the last Sunday of 2010. But anyway, it's the last Sunday of the year. Let's party hardy, boys and girls. We are here with my man, friend of the program, Jim Duncan. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We are going to talk about the economy, probably the big story of the year. And how that affects the Charlottesville, Central Virginia area, because it starts from there, I believe. I believe it starts from there. This is a region with a lot to do about real estate, both whether it's homes or properties. And we can expand it from there to include almost everything. Jim Duncan, a member of Nest Realty, joining us today for the hour. Write down the phone number, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN Rocks. We give a shout out to the folks on Levinson's 94.7 and to Sunbow Trading Company. They're giving us some support today. They specialize in tribal carpets and kilims for 31 years in downtown Charlottesville. Sunbow Trading Company features over 2,000 older rugs to choose from. You can find Sunbow Trading Company at 110 South Street in downtown Charlottesville and online, sunbowtrading.com. All right, let's get right into it. Jim Duncan from Nest Realty, as we talk about a little bit of the past and a little bit of the future. Jim, let's just jump into it right away.
Sure.
Everyone talks about how bad the real estate section of our economy has been, but I heard just, I guess, in the last week or two, that home sales are up, at least for pre-owned homes. I'd like to know whether that's accurate for our area, because I believe that was a national comment, and why a pre-owned home would sell faster than a new home.
It's a big question. I think
you got an hour.
I think that existing homes are selling more. Well, let me back up first. Looking at the national trends is a good starting point, but when you're looking at the Charlottesville real estate market, it is irrelevant, and sometimes they are misguided. So I think that you have to have that in context. And so what I try to do is look at the Charlottesville, Albemarle, and the Central Virginia regional market, and look at how our trends are affected by the national trends. So in short, you know, resale homes, existing home sales were up. And new homes sales are down. But I think what you need to look at also is that coming up in 2010, we're going to have, in my prediction, I think we're going to have significantly higher inventories of homes when you look at the number of foreclosures and short sales that are coming on. So I think that looking back at the last couple quarters of 2009, a lot of this new sales were being pushed by the $8,000 tax credit that was supposed to have expired and then was extended in November. So there was a lot of push by first-time home buyers. And I saw this statistic last week talking about just the vast majority of home sales in the third quarter and fourth quarter of this year were pushed forward by the $8,000 tax credit.
All right. I don't expect everyone listening to the program to have been someone on the market for a home.
Right.
So two or three sentences sort of defining the $8,000 tax credit.
The $8,000 tax credit as it was prior to being extended in late November was basically anybody who had not owned a home in the previous 3 years was eligible for, and if they bought a new home or existing home, they were eligible for a $8,000 tax credit, basically an $8,000 check from the government for buying a home as an incentive to purchase a home. So what happened is that was allegedly was going to expire November 30th. And so there was a lot of push by first-time home buyers to get in before that $8,000 tax credit expired. So there was a lot of traffic moving forward on that. But then, as the government is wont to do, they extended it yet again. So there's I think it's the third tax credit for home buyers that is going to be in effect for until April of next year. So looking back at the end of 2009, there was just a lot of people were moving to moving very quickly to purchase homes so they could get $8,000 from the government.
All right, but was the tax credit, did I miss you saying this? Was the tax credit only available for a pre-owned home?
It was only available for first-time home buyers as defined.
Okay, so why would the pre-owned home sell more frequently than the new home?
Price. It comes to price. A lot of the pre-owned homes that you were seeing out there, both from a national trend perspective and from a local perspective, people were more able to be flexible on price, a lot of them were, for existing homes than were the builders. So what you're seeing is another trend that we're going to be seeing in 2010 is looking at those numbers from this year. I think that there's going to be more flexibility in price from those who are looking to sell their homes in first and second quarter of 2010.
All right. You talk about selling a home. We are talking with Jim Duncan from Nest Realty about one of the bigger topics from 2009 and one of the bigger ones moving ahead to 2010, the home sales. And I see the phone's already ringing. Well, boys and girls, I'm by myself today, so I will, don't be impatient. I'll get to it. One of the things that I read as a trend was people just giving up on their mortgage.
Mm.
Rather than trying to sell the home, why would they do this?
Well, I mean, there's a story from NPR nicely on Christmas Day about a woman who purchased a home a number of years ago for $465,000 in Northern Virginia, and now it's worth about $225,000. So she's she's choosing to what's called a strategic default. She's choosing to default strategically because she sees that there is no hope to ever recover that $200,000 of lost equity. So she's making a financial decision to walk away from her mortgage. I think that, again, that's something that we saw picking up anecdotally in end of this year. And I think we're going to see more and more of that moving forward in 2010, where people are, aside from the moral and ethical arguments about why one should honor their obligations, she's making, a lot of people, I think, are making strategic financial decisions to just walk away. It's a big question about the whether they why and they should and how. I've had a lot of people asking me, how do I do this?
Well, let's see if this caller stuck with me. Caller, are you there? All right, I'll say no and let's try this one. Nope. All right, boys and girls. I'm only so fast when I'm with a guest. 979-0919. We will be taking calls. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Lazarus is with me today. I'd stick him out there to answer the phones, but he doesn't have good thumbs. So 979-0919. Jim Duncan's here. And here goes the phone. Caller, are you there with me?
Hello.
Hi, how are you? You got a question or a comment for Jim?
Kind of a question and a comment. You just up a little bit talking about the NPR story about the Northern Virginia woman who walked away from her loan. But the reality is, you don't really walk away from the loan. You still have this horrendous outstanding debt that you are going to have to pay off in some fashion or another.
Well, frequently, yeah. I mean, yeah. You are obligated to pay that back in some states. I mean, some states are you are not obligated to pay that back. And again, it's if you choose to go the bankruptcy route, which I'm reading more and more people are choosing to do that, yes, you absolutely are going to have an obligation to pay that debt back. But in some cases, you're not. And I think that one of the things that we're seeing now in this fluid and evolving economy is that there are no hard and fast rules about what recourse should be. And whether there are and should be consequences for decisions. But thank you.
Caller, hang on for a second. And Jim, this is directed at both of you. Well, so much for that part. So, again, 979-0919. Jim, what's the difference? I understand the strategic part of the default.
Right.
You're the money that you owe is worth more than the home that you're paying for it.
Correct.
But that happens to cars all the time.
Right.
Maybe not in the same grand dollar figure. But if you bought the property for its value, are those the only people who are pulling this strategic default? What about those who bought this because it's where they choose to live, because it's where they want the their kids to go to school, because it's near their workplace? The people who've made it a home rather than a house.
Right. And I think that that is something that we're seeing more and more of. And I was in a conversation last week about this, is that people, you know, taking the strategic default out of it, but just people who are buying houses today are buying homes, and they're buying a place to put down roots, and they're buying places to live and be happy. So I think that you're seeing more people are paying less attention to what their home is worth and more to how they're going to live on a day-to-day basis. So I think that we're seeing a shift in a whole lot of ways. You know, we're seeing a shift financially and economically. We're also seeing a sociological shift whereby people are paying more attention to where they want to live and how they want to live. And, you know, if I've lost $50,000 of my equity, you know, that's okay because I'm not planning to sell for many years.
So. And that's it's equity. It's not money out of my pocket, at least not at the time. When your total mortgage due is $400,000 and your home is only worth $250,000 based on the recent tax assessment, that has nothing to do with your mortgage payment due next month.
No, and which again, it's you're seeing a shift because in this previous, you know, bubble or whatever you want to call it, this 5 to 7 year stretch, people were using their homes as investments and as ATMs, and they were doing cash out refinances, and they were using their homes as leverage and not necessarily as a place to wake up and have coffee. So I think that we're seeing a pull back from that into a more realistic, you know, buying a house as a home mindset. I think that's a really good thing.
And as our initial caller seemed to be asking, is there seems to be, or you would expect, a much greater, the term punishment comes to mind, although that's not really what I'm trying to say. But a strategic default makes it sound like it's all about how much money you have left in your pocket at the time, rather than, you know, where's the punishment that goes with it for not paying it off? How is it that some states don't punish you through your credit record, that don't force you to pay the rest of the loan? I can't come do that with my car, can I?
I have no idea. Yeah, I would say probably not. They'd come and take the car back. But I think that, you know, that's what you're seeing now, is that people are choosing. And again, I'm looking at it anecdotally because there's not any sufficiently sound evidence and anecdote and evidence and numbers that we can look at. So I'm speaking purely from anecdotal evidence that's out there. But in some cases, I'm reading about people who are choosing to not pay their mortgage anymore and are living in that house for 18 to 24 months just because the banks are so backlogged with taking houses back into their own inventory. So everything is a risk and a gamble. And I think that people now are looking at whether they're going to move forward in 5 years and whether they're going to have the money to recoup that lost equity. But again, I think that people need to look at their home as an investment, but more so as a home where they're going to, you know, live.
11:15 on the Wake Up Call. Jim Duncan here as we talk about the real estate in the Central Virginia area and nationally as well. Some of the issues from 2009 and before, and some of the expectations for 2010 and beyond. 979-0919. Call up with your comment, your question. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's the toll-free number. Jim, so you mentioned this strategic default as being a shift in the way people are considering their homes, the financial aspect of their homes. Do you expect that to continue in the future? Do you expect the government or the banking industry to alter the rules and regulations to try and prevent this?
I have no idea. And I think that anybody who's going to speculate about what the government's going to do next is playing a fool's game.
Has it affected the way that you speak with your potential clients when trying to sell a house or show them homes?
When I'm showing buyers in the Charlottesville area property, and I did this consistently throughout this past year, you know, I would tell them that you know, a couple things. One, when you make your money when you sell is when you buy. So you need to make sure you buy smart from day one. And I do that by giving them as much data and analysis as possible so they can come to these conclusions on their own. And the second part of that is that I prep them that if they buy a house for $100,000 today, that I expect it's going to be worth a little bit less next year. So I think that my goal is to counsel people, unless they're an investor. I mean, investors have different goals than homeowners from a family standpoint. So I want people to understand that it's not purely an investment that they're making financially. They're making an investment in their home and their community as well.
Do you have standards? You know, if somebody came to you who you considered might have strategic default as an option, would you sell the home to them?
Well, I think that's what you're seeing now is, I'll take that as a lead into short sales. You know, we're seeing more and more short sales.
Define that for me.
A short sale is if you bought it for $100,000 3 years ago and now it's worth $80,000. And so in order to sell it, you need to put it on the market for $70,000. So a short sale is basically where you owe more than your house is worth. And so that you're seeing more of those coming on the market. And the Charlottesville Area MLS associations have now instituted rules by which, realtors thankfully have to strive to abide by. So when I take a listing and I talk and I'm counseling a client, we need to find out whether, they're going to be in a short sale position, because that impacts everything from day one. It affects the pricing. It affects how we speak with the bank negotiator. It affects whether buyers will look at it, because short sales traditionally take a longer period of time because it's an undefined timeline. But again, we're seeing now that the government is trying to institute new rules that are going to try to institutionalize these timelines. So it's a complex situation that we have in the market, because you have different types of sales. You have regular resale homes, you have new homes, you have short sales, you have foreclosures, and trying to educate buyers and sellers on the different components of the market is a challenging thing. So it's strategic defaults are one thing and short sales are another. And I think that short sales are an option for a lot of people. But what you need to be able to do with that is be able to prove to the person holder, the mortgage company, that you cannot make that mortgage payment. And the difference between one of the differences between strategic defaults and short sales is that strategic defaults, a lot of them can still make their mortgage payments, but they're choosing not to. Short sales, they can't.
11:19 on the Wake Up Call with Jim Duncan from Nest Realty here. We talk about the real estate in 2009 and looking ahead in 2010 in Central Virginia and nationally.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's mostly sunny today, highs in the mid-50s. It's in the 40s in the Valley and Lynchburg, mostly cloudy. Believe it or not, 20% chance of snow showers tonight in Central Charlottesville and the Valley. 25 to 30 and lower 30s in Richmond. Sunny tomorrow, highs 35 to 40. Right now in the Valley, it's 41, 44 in Lynchburg, 48 in Richmond, and 46 in Charlottesville. And let's thank the Artful Lodger for allowing us to be on air today. You can find furniture and accessories with fresh appeal. If you're looking for holiday gifts and furniture, the Artful Lodger is holding its winter sales event through December 30th. The Artful Lodger boasts 6,000 square foot showroom and a parking next to the store. You can find the Artful Lodger on the downtown mall. For more info, it's artful-lodger.com. I mentioned the 20% possibility of snow tonight in certain areas of the listening community. Is that an issue? Now, I realize that, it's awful hard to sell something when there's stupid snow out there, but is that part of the conversation, especially maybe moving forward in the next several weeks because of what has happened this past weekend, where you say, hey, you might want to consider this when you purchase this house in this suburb neighborhood versus this windy road over here?
I think that most people come in with their own individual thresholds of risk and what they're looking to tolerate in that kind of environmental trend. I'll say this. I did not show a couple of houses yesterday specifically because the houses and the sidewalks leading up to them were inaccessible. So I think, one good advice for sellers is that even the day after Christmas, realtors are out there showing houses trying to sell homes. I've had people come into the market from other areas and ask about earthquakes and fires and tornadoes and hurricanes. And people are always curious about what the environmental risks are in the Charlottesville area. And it's always nice to say that we get 2 feet of snow every 10 years. And the earthquakes we have are in the 2.0 range, and they're usually 50 miles away. And we're a pretty safe place to live. So people do their research before they get here.
Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Or you can send us an email instant message, WNRN Studio, on the AOL site. Jim, how about you talk about people moving to town. Is it expected that some of these new large groups of people, I think NGIC up on 29 North, mm-hmm. What is that, National Ground Intelligence Center?
It's NGIC, National Ground Intelligence Center, and the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, are both moving here.
And do you know the expected number of people?
I've heard varying numbers, anywhere from 800 to 1,200, and I've heard 1,200 to 1,700.
Is that expected to mostly help the previously owned home section or the new home section?
That's a good question. When people come in, generally they target price, and people are shifting their mentalities to looking more at price than they are new versus resale. So I think that it's not going to help a particular segment, but it is going to help the region or the surrounding region around those facilities. But again, it's the backup to that is that you're not going to have 800 new jobs and 800 new homes sold. The initial numbers were a bit misleading in that we expected more people to be buying homes, and you're seeing fewer percentages of those people are actually moving forward with purchases for a variety of reasons.
What are they doing?
A lot of people are choosing to stay. I mean, I've heard from NGIC folk who are choosing to keep their home in Northern Virginia and commute.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people up there, they'll commute 2-3 hours each way, as a matter of course.
Do they not have social lives or families?
It's a different world. So, I mean, they have, again, people have different perspectives when they move to Charlottesville. When I show homes to people and I say, well, this is 25, 30 minutes away from NGIC, they'll say, okay, well, I drive 75 minutes each way now, so that's sweet. People are, they're choosing to keep their homes there for a variety of reasons. One, and I've heard that people, they're upside down in their mortgages, for what we were talking about a few minutes ago. They bought for $500 and it's worth $350. They can't sell, so they're choosing to stay. A lot of people are choosing to stay because they have kids in high school and they want the kids to finish up their 2 years in high school, and they'll just suffer through that 2 years. So it's, but you're also seeing a lot of people are buying in the Northern Albemarle, Green, Louisa, Blue Vanna area, who are looking to move to NGIC and DIA.
Do you think that let's say half of those people do end up purchasing here?
I would say, if I had to guess now, I'd say 25 to 33%.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's
that's a lot of people on 29 mm-hmm. from coming south.
Right. But again, a lot of them are.
So Green County can make a lot of funds.
Well, Green's got
ticketing people.
This is very true. This is very true. And they have a new Walmart and Lowe's up there. So, I mean, again, Green is becoming much more self-sufficient for these people. So they are able to, again, you have the Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, anytime you have Dunkin' Donuts up 29 North, you've got your hub of activity.
Oh, goodness.
So it's, again, it's that part of the county and the region is becoming more self-sufficient. So people have less reason to come into the city and county of Charlottesville.
We talked about short sales again, and some of the definitions I need to be continuously reminded of. A short sale is when you are selling it for less than you paid for it.
Correct.
But you can typically, that's not someone who's choosing to not make their mortgage payment. That's someone who truly cannot afford to keep making their mortgage
payment. A short sale is somebody who has hardship, who can, you know, prove that there's a reason that they're selling it for less.
And so how does that qualify as a foreclosure? Or, I mean, when I mean not qualify, but how does that become a foreclosure, or does it not?
It frequently does. I mean, it is, again, there's so many different variables that factor into it, and one of them is the bank's timeline. You know, if the bank is unable to work with the seller, and the seller has a short sale and they're trying to sell it, and then the bank comes in and just forecloses, you know, frequently that will just, you know, kill all the work that the seller and possibly the prospective purchaser have done leading up to it. Sometimes if you're in a short sale, that you can demonstrate to the lender you have a contract, they'll hold off on the foreclosure process. But I've heard, again, it's very difficult to find hard and fast numbers and data in our market as to what percentage short sales and foreclosures are making up.
Tell me a little bit about 2009 and foreclosures and 2010. Is 2010 expected to increase? I think the phrase that I heard possibly from you is flood or trickle.
I think it's going to be somewhere between the two.
Well, that's not fair now.
Trending more towards flood. I think that there's going to be more distressed properties coming on the market now in the Charlotte-Albemarle area. And I'm seeing that just, you know, by daily updates I get as far as the number of notice of trustee sales in our market. And I'm seeing more in the MLS are coming on as foreclosures. I'm seeing more, anecdotally, again, there are two properties, one in Louisa and one in Albemarle last week that had $100,000 price reductions. You
know, $100,000 mm-hmm. price reductions?
Yeah. So that's a big chunk of change. You know, and that's the bank saying, you know what, I'm done. Get rid of this property. Get it off our books. And that impacts sellers and buyers. You know, if a seller is looking to sell, and they have one home that is, you know, priced as a foreclosure, and it's down here, then the seller may not need to factor that into their numbers. But if you have 4 out of 10 comparable home sales are foreclosures, or 5 out of 10, you know, it's that when the foreclosures become the market, that's when sellers have to factor those in. And buyers, again, are choosing to wait. I mean, a lot of people out there are saying, you know, I'm going to wait to see what happens. And again, that's a risky game, because what happens may be that the market gets a whole lot worse and they're able to take advantage of it. Or what happens may be that interest rates go up, which they're predicted to do, and things magically recover to a point where if they were planning to take advantage of the market, they may not be in a position to do so.
Well, for many people, the news reports are becoming a bit more positive on the economy. Retailers had a slight increase in sales for the holiday season. Unemployment numbers are still negative, but better.
They seem to actually be getting better in the Charlottesville area.
But what I heard from you is that the number of foreclosures is expected to be growing in the negative sense in 2010 than what we had.
Right.
That to me, that sounds like, okay, boys and girls, the worst part in the Central Virginia real estate market is not over.
I would love to be wrong, but my speculation is that we have not hit the worst part of the market as of yet. If I had to guess, again, I think I wrote this a few months ago. I think that we're going to see the bottom in third or fourth quarter of 2010. But really and truly, I'm not going to know when that bottom is until we have the benefit of 18 to 24 months of hindsight, looking back and saying, okay, well, that's when it was. So there's a lot of contradictory evidence out there as to what the market's going to do. And there's also a lack of good data as to the number of distressed properties and the number of homes that are still held by banks in their inventory. So looking forward to 2010, I think that if you're going to be buying a house, you need to do your investigation and due diligence now so you can be an informed buyer and or seller.
11:31 on the Wake Up Call with Jim Duncan from Nest Realty as we talk about the economy from the real estate point of view, 2009, 2010. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being with us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design for 30 years. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online at brgtshirts.com. Here's an online question. It's WNRN Studio at the AOL instant message site. Phone lines 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. If the phone is answered and I don't say hi right away, that's because I'm multitasking. You talked about the snow affecting purchases. What about the new train?
I think it's wonderful. You know, I think that the story a couple weeks ago was saying that train ridership was I think, double what they had expected it to be. It was 8,500 people, if I recall, in the first month that were using it from Charlottesville to D.C., which while it still is a small, very small number, I think it's a very good trend towards public transit. It doesn't, you know, I talked to somebody the other day who said that, you know, he has the luxury of going up. You know, I think it leaves here in Charlottesville about 9 or 9:30 and gets to D.C. a little while after that. He's able to go up, have meetings in the afternoon, stay there overnight, get work done, and come home the next night. It's not a commuter train by any stretch, but it is something that people are looking at as being a positive thing. People coming from other markets that are accustomed to having good functional mass transit are very disappointed when they get to the Charlottesville-Albemarle area. But now having the train as an option, I think, is something that is a good thing. It's a very good start. I think it's a three-year plan. You can check out cvillerail.org. For more information on the new line, but it's a good thing. I think that more and more people are going to be using that to get to D.C.
But it's not a commuter train, so yeah. I would think that it has limited positive effect on the real estate sales market.
It does, and that's one of the fears that I've heard over the years is that some folks don't want it to be a commuter train because they expect them we will become a suburb of D.C. And I think that's that has some merit. But it's for now, it's for the people who have the luxury of going up and spending 3 or 4 hours in the office and spending the night and coming home the next day. Or for tourism. I mean, it's a very good tourism train.
We look back at 2009 and then turn ahead to 2010. You are a vendor in the real estate sales. You're selling homes and helping people purchase homes.
Right.
What about renting? What has the economy done for the rental market? I would, my grand knowledge in this area, but tell me that the rental numbers have blown up and increased dramatically. Because if you can't afford to buy the house, well, let me find a place I can afford to pay my rent.
Right. You're seeing a mix. I mean, you're seeing a lot of properties that were for sale, and then they couldn't sell it. So now it's on the rental market. And that's a component, an unknown component of the home sales market. But from things like, again, with the caveat that rentals are not my forte, I'm seeing more and more homes are coming on the market. And from my view, I'm seeing that rentals prices are going down. So it's certainly an option. I think that one thing that's lacking in our market is the short-term rental option for people who are coming in for 3 to 6 months, either to do a short-term contract or to look to purchase a home.
What do you mean? Because it's only, this town is pretty much all a 1 year?
Most of the things that my clients are looking at are usually 9 to 18 month rentals. And that's just not a viable option for some people. But again, I'm seeing more and more rentals are coming on the market. And a lot of those are homes that have been for sale for many months. And, I'm seeing things in the MLS are saying, the home is for sale or for rent or lease or lease to own or, what have you. Just help the seller get it off their books.
Jim Duncan here, 1136 on the Wake Up Call. I always get your website incorrect. I want to say centralvirginiarealty.com.
RealCentralVA.com.
Yeah, see, I got it wrong again. RealCentralVA.com, an interesting website and blog full of information and anecdotal commentary. It's always good to get something that's not not always just written for the particular person to read and try and get a sales done.
I try to provide unbiased information, and you know, it all has my own biases, but I try to be transparent about that. And that's a good point. Is I will have show notes up hopefully tomorrow about with links and more context about everything we talk about today.
It may take a little longer for the podcast due to my inabilities to do it myself and having to find other people here.
Quite all right.
I can record it, but that's about where it stops. Let's talk about a little bit more about upcoming 2010 things. Recently, I read that the very large plan of new homes in Biscuit Run is on the verge of not happening.
It's been on the verge of not happening for years. But now they've officially come out and said that they have intentions to donate it and make it into a park. So that's
let's toss out some numbers for the original plan. Again, for those folks who have moved in recently, who aren't always reading the headlines in our papers.
Biscuit Run was it was going to be 3,100 homes, sort of the southeast of town between the Mill Creek Avon Street development and Redfields overall off Fifth Street Extended. So it was going to be about 3,000 homes dropped in there. That was I think that it was going to have sort of a positive effect on to some degree, but also some will say a very negative effect environmentally.
So a lot of infrastructure as well.
That was a lot of infrastructure, and traditionally we tend to build first and then worry about the infrastructure later in our area. But now they've said that it's Craig intends to make it into a park and wants to donate it. And there's been some speculation about the merits of that. And, personally, I think that having more green space is a good thing. But I think that there's also been some speculation that it's a ploy to get attention from somebody who might come and try and buy it from him before he donates it to make it into a park. But I think, again, it's one of those things that in 6 to 9 months we'll know exactly what's happening with it. But not having an additional 3,100 homes on the horizon, I think, can only do good things for our real estate market, at least in the short term, because not having that anticipated inventory coming on the market is going to be a good thing for the existing homes who are competing against Biscuit Run to a certain degree. But it's also good for those, from talking to neighbors there, it's good for those neighborhoods because they don't have 3,000 homes and years of construction going on around them. So their quality of life is going to be improved. So there are two sides to everything, but I think that you can make an argument that this turning into a park is going to be a good thing.
To ask someone who sells homes, you need homes to lead your life.
Right.
And so whether that's a new home, which Biscuit Run would provide 3,000, and the other homes that are currently on the market and will turn over, how does it make you feel to know that there's 3,000 fewer homes out there for you to get, a handful, and to be very gross about it, but a handful in your hands to sell?
I think that from my perspective, which again, I represent my buyers and I represent my sellers, and I sell representation and advice, and I don't sell, I don't sell homes per se. I sell representation and professionalism. And I think, I think that it's a good thing because at least in the short term, I've seen some studies saying that there's a projected housing shortage in our region over the next decade, which, again, that's a whole nother conversation. But I think that for now, those homes that were competing to a certain degree with the prospect of 3,000 new homes, those existing homes that don't have to compete with Biscuit Run, I think for them it's a very good thing. So I think that the demand is not there yet for those 3,000 homes, and the supply as it stands right now is still much too great for what our market can bear. So again, you look at the basic supply demand, we've got oversupply and decreased demand. And so you bring that more into equilibrium. I think that's qualifies as a very good thing.
And you sell the property or you donate the property to become a park because that person can't afford to hold on to it anymore and wait for that projected shortage of homes?
I guess that's what they're thinking. They've decided to strategically, move forward with another plan.
Did their 6-year-old daughter finally convince them to become more economically or environmentally green.
You know,
Daddy, don't build all those homes. We need more parks.
I mean, it's a hard thing to do when they spent $46 million buying that property. So it's a hard thing to just walk away from that. So that's one of the reasons I think there may be some ulterior motives going on that not very many people actually know about.
11:41 on the Wake Up Call with Jim Duncan from Nest Realty.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week The Hook looks back at 2009 from big events such as the world's most popular band coming to play to bigger events like another concert night when a young woman disappeared from our midst. Madam Hook reveals her predictions for 2010. And secrets from those on the interview hot seat are shared, from nail-biting to going one-on-one with Michael Jordan. You never know what someone will tell you. The Hook, still trying to dig out from that snowstorm. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for being with us. If it's keeping warm and having fun in the outdoors this winter, Blue Ridge has the gear for you. Whether your outdoor adventure is winter running, hiking, climbing, or snowshoeing, you'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, or online, brms.com. And here's our man, Drew Thompson, just walked in the door for Les Temps Perdue at noon. If French isn't your thing here at the station, that's The Time's Gone By. And on radio here, it's 80s and 90s alternative. Tune in for it next. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back with Jim Duncan. Jim, some of the things we've been talking about, trends a lot. That word has come up frequently in our conversation. What is new urbanism?
It is a return to sort of a walkability, and in my mind, the definitions are varied, but it's really a mindset of living and working close to your home. You're seeing a couple of those developments are popping up around town, driven by people's desire to have walkability and bikeability and be close to stuff is sort of my unrefined definition. And by stuff, I mean grocery stores and schools and coffee shops and things that you need for a day-to-day basis. What I'm hoping to see in the next couple of years is, in addition to having homes and coffee shops, et cetera, is homes and places to work so that people won't have to get into their cars to drive to work. And I think that's a very good thing from the perspective of, again, going back to the sociological change. Being close to your neighbors and being close to businesses is keeping everything local is another trend that we're seeing develop over the last couple of years and moving forward to 2010 and beyond.
Oh, well, we seem to have two different sets of that. And again, for me, it's conversation. It's not statistics when I talk about this. But on the north side of town, near where I work, mm-hmm. everything there has been an increase in the number of commercial retail spacing.
Right.
And almost nothing in the home building area.
Right.
And in other areas, and again, and this may not even be accurate, but on the Crozet side of town, it seems to be more home, more residents, and just now is the commercial aspect, the retail aspect, starting to come in so that we can have the walkability that you mentioned. Is there a way to must it be done in such an awkward fashion with one giant step one way and then 3 years later, the other step gets taken forward? Is it not possible to do them in a sort of synchronistic manner?
Wouldn't that be neat?
Is that just the way that the factors work, or is that the Central Virginia methodology of doing it, the leadership we have, the way it must be done because no one's going to toss out their investment dollars until the other thing that they want is already there?
I think it's a combination of everything you just mentioned. I mean, you look at the 29 North area and you had the residential before, and then that drove the people putting in the commercial space, the Hollymead Town Center and everything around there. You had Forest Lakes and Hollymead first, and then the commercial said, well, there's a lot of homes there and a lot of people we can sell stuff to. So we'll put in the town center. And Crozet has been sort of backwards in that respect. So you've had a big residential boom in Crozet, and you're starting to see now with the in Crozet, the Clover Lawn Town Shops, where you have a gym and you know, Domino's and other things in there. And you also have downtown Crozet, which is, has a coffee shop and a Far Downers Pub and a hardware store. And you also have Old Trail, which has, you know, its other set of restaurants and coffee shops. So you're seeing, again, you're seeing a move to having the walkability to stuff. And it's again, it's driven by demand. And I think you've seen different demands in those different parts of the market. But I think it is also part of the urban planning mentality in Albemarle. And the, you know, some will argue that it's because it takes so long to get projects approved that people will just put in what they can by right. So it's a complex question to answer.
And that's why I asked the complex man, who's typically full of the answers, Jim Duncan from Nest Realty here on the Wake Up Call. Here's another trend that we talked about, which is green building. Green is in saving money, and green is in feeling good about something, feeling good about yourself.
I think that's a wonderful trend that we're seeing more and more of in our market, in Charlottesville, Albemarle, and beyond. For people who are building green, who are choosing to buy green, Earthcraft homes, and some, you know, very few LEED homes, which are different certifications. Earthcraft is something that has gained prominence. It is, in some respects, it's a marketing thing in how the homes are marketed, because people are drawn to Earthcraft. But I think that people are drawn to green building. A small percentage, I think maybe, you know, very small percentage of people want to do green because it's the so-called right thing to do right now. But I think more people are drawn to the green building trend because it, you know, frankly, it saves them money. When you build a green house, you save money on utilities, you save money on disposal of materials that during the construction process, and it makes a more comfortable lifestyle.
Is that true? And I don't mean to say that in the "you're not telling me the truth" mm-hmm. question, but I know that when you buy a Prius, right, you know, a car, they say feel good about yourself, but it takes you 10 years to actually
make that,
you know, recover the initial cost back. And my understanding from green building is that it's similar in many ways. Now, parts of it may be less expensive to buy that green style wood and filler,
right,
for heating and cooling savings, but that there are other aspects that cost dramatically more. And so when does it go past the, oh, I feel good about myself, to the part of, oh, I have a little more cash in my pocket?
Well, I think that what you're, again, there's a sort of a confluence of events that have come about in the last, you know, 2-3 years. And it's, and the first and foremost is that people are staying in their homes for longer periods of time. You know, 5 years ago, I would tell my clients, or I would advise them, that they might want to consider doing this or this or this to increase the energy efficiency. And the cost would be X, and they would, and I would say, we would recapture that in 5 years. And they would say, okay, well, that's wonderful. I'm moving in two. So you're seeing a shift away from that, and people are choosing to, and they're planning to stay in their homes for 5, 7, 10 years now. So you're seeing people are paying more regard to what the monthly cost of utilities are going to be. And again, it's you know, due to the economy. People are actually budgeting for utilities now. You know, 5 years ago, people were not asking how much is the electrical bill per month, and how much is the gas bill, and how much is water. And now they're actually asking those questions. And so they're paying much more attention to whether you have low flow toilets already in place, and what the cost would be to replace them, and what the R value is from the insulation. And so you're seeing, again, I think in my mind, it's driven much more from an economic perspective of people wanting to save money and spend money more wisely than it is from people who are saying, well, I feel really good about the environment, that I'm not cutting down, you know, trees to build this house or what have you. So I think that you're seeing a shift now towards energy efficiency and saving money, and that happens to be green. People aren't going green for the sole reason of going green.
How many realtors have left the market in the past couple of years with the dramatic change in lots of home sales to much harder to make the home sale?
I think we've seen a reduction from the peak of about 300 total. I think that at the peak we had 1,200, 1,300, and now we've got about 900, 950, give or take. So it's talking to the old timers in the business. You know, I've only been doing this for 8 years, so I still consider myself a newbie. But you talk to the old timers, and they say that we only need a couple hundred at best to work the volume of homes that we have here. And I think that the reduction is something that in any market that's going through the ups and downs is something that had to happen. And what you're seeing now, from my perspective, is the realtors who are choosing to stay really are better at what they do, because they have to be. You see people who are focused more on the clients than the next transaction. And I think that as realtors, we're tasked with a very, very important job. You know, I look at what I do is helping to manage my clients' lives and help them make good decisions.
How many homes were sold in 2009? Do you know?
In 2009, there were, looking in so far in the, let's see, this is in the MSA, just in Charlottesville and Albemarle. So far this year, there have been 2,444 homes sold. Contrast that with 09, or I mean with 08, and there were 2,459 sold throughout the year.
That's not that big a change. And no. That's only 200 per month, right?
That's about, you know, again, I'm looking at the numbers here, and the peak months of May, June, July were 260, 296, and 285 in 08. And the peak months here were 197 and 260 and almost 300. So year over year, the volume is about the same. And I'm just looking at it here. The number of homes on the market actually trended up in November of this year, contrast with last year.
Do you think that that's because people have decided that, oh, well, sounds like things are getting better. Now I'll put my home up.
I think you're seeing more of that. But I think you're also seeing, again, it's hard to track this. So I think that you're also seeing some new construction is actually getting put into the MLS now, where that's been a struggle we've had locally for years, is some new construction homes do not get put in, so you can't track them. I think you're also seeing some more foreclosures are finally making their way to the market. So again, looking at the number of homes sold year over year, this year, November of 2009, there were 185 sold, and November of 2008, there were 96. So that's a tremendous increase year over year.
Jim Duncan from Nest Realty here in the last several minutes of the wake-up call, the last Sunday of 2009. You can find Jim Duncan on his blog, realcentralva.com. Jim, we talk about how the number of homes being put on the market is increasing here in the last quarter. How about building permits?
They are down dramatically. I haven't seen the Albemarle County report for fourth quarter yet, and I think that'll come out in the first quarter of 2010. But you're seeing far fewer building permits in Charlottesville and Albemarle, and it's a function of the market. There's just less demand for new homes right now, at least for some new homes. It's an interesting time to look at the numbers of permits to new homes sold. So it's the short answer is a lot less.
Do you think, and again, I ask this sort of prediction when it's hard for people to always be accurate in their predictions.
Right.
But it'll be a new year. For many people, 2010 represents the new decade, although I think mathematically that's not accurate. But we have a new decade. We'll have a new quarter. Many of the comments are that things are looking better in our economy. Do you expect those numbers to drive up?
Of building permits, I think that they will probably go up, not exponentially, but they will trend upward.
Does that happen seasonally as well? You just don't see them in the fourth quarter that you might see in the first quarter?
Well, I mean, I think of it as more of a less quarterly and more of an annual basis, because I think that we have a tendency to look at things on a quarterly basis or a month-by-month basis too much, and it causes you to focus, forest for the trees conversation. So I think that we'll see more next year than we did this year, but I think that you're also going to see fewer builders possibly out there because there's some that are still holding on. And, in order to keep the machine moving forward from a building perspective, you need to be building spec houses and building new construction.
You are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg, 11:56 on the wake-up call. Support today coming from CNA Camp. where a part of the proceeds go to Charlottesville Area Community Foundation. CNA Camp offers many things: table linens, letter charms, organic nail polish, and garden supplies. You can also find fossilized platters and candle holders, plus antlers. They are a supporter of Fair Trade, CNA Camp in Charlottesville. For more info, it's 434-973-5555. 434-973-5555. That's CNA Camp. Jim, let's just finish the last few minutes with some of the, maybe the most basic question. If you're going to buy a home in Charlottesville in 2010, when do you start looking? Because you made comment earlier that you thought the bottom of the dip would happen in the third quarter.
Right. It's hard to say, you know, to backtrack a little bit on my previous statement. I think that the bottom market-wide is going to be, you know, maybe, again, you know, I'll know in 3 years, the bottom maybe in third or fourth quarter. But making a statement like that is, again, as I've written, is a bit silly, because our market is neighborhood by neighborhood. I mean, zip code by zip code is still too broad for Charlottesville area. So I think it's neighborhood by neighborhood and development by development, street by street. So I think that, you know, there's two answers to that question. But I think if you're looking to buy a house, you know, anytime in 2010, I think that right now is the time when you need to be looking and need to be familiarizing yourself with the different websites that you should use to find a home, and you should be driving through neighborhoods and eliminating areas that you don't want to live in, and looking at crime statistics and looking at where you want to be. Because I think that you're seeing now people are rightfully putting more consideration to their home buying decision. And it's a longer process in the lead up to actually looking at homes. So I think that right now, you know, spend the next couple, 2, 3, 4, 6, 9 months looking at real estate stuff about the Charlottesville market. I mean, look at the national trends to a certain degree, but focus more on Charlottesville and Albemarle and Louise and wherever you intend to live, so that when that time comes to actually put a contract on a house and choose, you know, well, first choose a buyer's agent, but when that time comes, you will be a lot more educated. So the process is taking longer, and I think that's a very good thing. It used to be that you would look for homes and you'd have 30 minutes to look at a house. And now you have, instead of 30 minutes, you might have 3 months for a house to sit on the market. So so I think that the short answer is start asking questions now and educate yourself as much as possible.
All right, Jim Duncan from Nest Realty, and his website, realcentralva.com. Jim, thank you so much.
Thanks, Rick.
We'll have Jim Duncan back on in the new year at some point. And you can send questions. I believe the Real Central VA website allows for questions.
It does.
And follow up once we get Jim's notes up on his website, and we'll get the podcast up on cvillepodcast.com. All right. See you next week. Lee Channing will be here for the first Sunday in the new year. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.